So hopefully I'll do. That's fine. So in line with our vision here for Marion Vineyard, which is to be to influence communities and impact nations, and that's our heart, that's what we want to do. So part of that is focusing on evangelism, discipleship and leadership development. And so what I'll be talking about is going to be in line with that, especially with evangelism. And that it's simple. You know, we are a light and we do carry God's presence. It's like we're praying for the kids that as they go back to school, they're going to take Jesus in with them and influence their community where they are, which is really awesome. So they just have to be who they are, don't they? Interesting, this week I just got an email from the Darling Primary School. Last year we ran with council funding the Youth Max program, which was a program designed to really encourage youth, went in there for a number of weeks to build self-esteem and overcoming failure and all that sort of thing. And this, at the very beginning of the year, before the school even starts, the counsellor has emailed to say, can you come back? You know, knowing that we're, you know, a church, we're Christians, it's not a Christian program, or the guy who's on the DVD teaching is clearly a Christian and talks about his faith. They are asking us to come. Isn't that awesome? How awesome is God, you know? So his light makes a difference and people see that. Even if they're not sure what it really means or what's really going on, they know that something's going on and they sense that and they can see it's good. Goodness is good. Doesn't matter what you believe. And anyway, so that's awesome. So today we're going to be talking about being an Andrew, how we can introduce people to Jesus, and because Andrew... just did it simply, and how we can just do that, you know, show people Jesus just one person at a time, and it's simple and easy. And this is all part of the Franklin Graham too. Some of this stuff has come through from them, but it's really just in line with who we are. But some good tools, so I thought I would just share a bit about that today. So we read about Andrew in John chapter 1, starting at verse 35, but I've got it up here if you don't have your Bibles, or if you want to read the version that I've got there. So we'll just read through it. John 1:35. So the next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So we're just going to look at that little bit of scripture, and when we think about who Andrew was, he wasn't anyone that sort of appears in a significant way in the Gospels. He wasn't a great teacher, a preacher, a scholar. He didn't write anything that we have. He wasn't known to write any scripture. Andrew, the actual Greek meaning of the word Andrew, is simply man. And who was it? Peter Marshall. He's a long-time Christian author. Many of you might have heard about him. And when he wrote about Andrew, he called him the saint of the rank and file. So rank and file just means ordinary. In terms of leadership, you have leaders and the ordinary soldiers. Rank and file, just the everyday kind of person. And that's who he, how he described Andrew. He was just an ordinary guy, you know. I can pretty much relate to that. And when we see him, he didn't really have any great notoriety, because we see even in this verse, in this passage of scripture in verse 40, Andrew, he's called Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So, you know, it's Andrew, but, you know, we know him because of someone else. So, you know, Andrew doesn't obviously rank very much in that either, you know, which is, you know, a bit of a shame. Because we certainly know who Simon Peter is. Peter, you know, featured very predominantly in the gospel stories. And he became known as one of the pillars of the early church, along with James and John. Yet we shouldn't forget who actually led him to Jesus, and that was Andrew. If we take another step back then, looking at that, then we can look at Andrew's own conversion in terms of how he met Jesus, and that was through his friend John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was someone he respected and he trusted. So when John the Baptist said, hey, look, the Lamb of God, so he was recommending Jesus to him, and he used language for Andrew that he could connect with. So Lamb of God is something he would have read in the scriptures that he had, that demonstrated to him that this was someone very special who could take away sins. And so that connected straight away with Andrew. So John was someone that Andrew could trust and knew how to communicate in a way that really connected and resonated with Andrew's heart. So it's good for us to think about how we are with our friends. You know, are we trustworthy and reliable? Would people actually take heed of what we say? You know, if we recommend something, or if we say something about our lives in terms of our faith. And then again, it's also the language that we use. You know, I'm finding being a chaplain up at the university that, you know, that's quite a challenge. They talk about us being there as spiritual advisors, which is fine. So then we start to talk about spirituality. So what words can we now think about? This is in the university context. To talk about spirituality, that's going to help people resonate with who we are and that they can identify with. Because I could talk about my relationship with Jesus and my own experience, but for them it's quite alien. They can see the impact it has, and there's great power in kindness, and the Lord's given me great favour with people that I come in connection with, because, well, I'm just who I am, and I bring the joy in the life of Jesus because I have the joy and life in Jesus in me. So that's a no-brainer. But to help them to get closer to understanding, we need to use words. That's all we have, isn't it? To communicate. And so it's really important for us, and I'm going through it right now, but for all of us to lean into the Spirit and say, Lord, you know, there's obviously a connection you're building up with this person. Just let it flow, Lord. You know, what words could I use that can connect with this person? What's going to help them go that little step deeper into thinking a bit more deeply about their own lives and what it means to have faith and all of those sorts of things? So John the Baptist was a cluey guy, and he knew how Andrew ticked, and he'd already developed a really good relationship with him. So Andrew straight away said, wow, if you think this guy is the Lamb of God, wow. That's big time. I trust what you're going to say, and I know what you mean by that. So he followed Jesus. So God used language through John that was going to resonate. And God used John to bring Andrew to Jesus. He chooses people to reach out to people. I mean, God could, I mean, he's awesome, isn't he? I mean, he created the universe and everything, and he doesn't really need us. But for some amazing, crazy reason, he chooses to use us, which is beautiful and just mind-blowing even in itself. So he uses us. So if we don't go, who is going to? You know, you can't look to Toe and I to go and talk to everyone in Marion, because we can only go so far. and we're not going where you guys are going. So God does it really simply. He uses people. And, you know, when people make responses at big evangelistic events, you know, statistics show that 80% of people that do, it's only because someone actually has brought them. And there's a relationship that backs up that whole deal of them even being there. So they've trusted someone enough to be there so that when they're there, they're actually listening and taking in, and they have an openness of heart to actually respond. So our relationships with people matters. So that can be a challenge for us sometimes when we're in the church, because sometimes all we do is connect with other Christians. If we go to work, that's good. We've got people that we can connect with there. But what are we doing with those relationships? You know, are we really making the most of those? Are we forming friendships with those? What's going on with those friendships? You know, what's our goal with that? Andrew's first priority. So he saw and met Jesus and followed Jesus. Andrew Simon's Peter brother was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," which is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So after Andrew met Jesus, his first priority was bringing someone else to Jesus. You know, when you've found the best thing since sliced bread that could ever never be topped by anything else, it's only normal and obvious that you want to do that. So he brought Simon Peter to Jesus. And so what he did was find Simon Peter, tell him about Jesus, and then bring him to Jesus. There were three things that he did. And I don't put that up as a formula, because sometimes we can get stuck into formulas. Like, hey, now we've got to find, tell and bring. Find, tell and bring. Because we don't want to be in procedures and into formulas. But, you know, it's as we ourselves are gripped by the love of Jesus, as we allow his spirit to be transforming our lives from the inside out, that all you're going to want to do and all you can do is be a testament to the goodness of God in your lives. But there is obviously some intent in that. So sometimes we have to think about that. You know, what is my focus? What am I doing? Anyway, I want you to think a bit more about that, and I'll just give you something else in a moment. But from this story, we can see that God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. Andrew met Jesus, brings his brother along, and now his brother grows and grows and ends up being a pillar of the early church. Awesome. Fantastic. God uses people to reach people. He uses you and I. And everyone can do what Andrew did. That's not hard. That's just being in relationship with people and letting it flow. Just a few things about what Jesus has said of himself. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And that's in response to when he saw Zacchaeus, the tax collector, in the tree. And he said, "Come down, I'm going to eat in your place and have a party." And everyone else around him is saying, "Oh, how could you mix with that guy?" And he's saying, "Well, this is what I've come to do. I've come to seek and to save the lost." What does Jesus say to us? This is after his ascension and appearing to the disciples who were to teach everyone else who they met what Jesus told them. And Jesus is telling them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he's done it and he's sending us to do it. But we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We need to be fully empowered and know who we are and be fully who we are and be led by him through the whole thing. And of course, this is what we term the Great Commission from Matthew 28:18. "All authority," Jesus said, "in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So some noticeable things from that passage that we know really well, but it's always good to be reminded. He is saying, therefore, go. So that does intimate some sort of movement on our part. Maybe it's moving out of apathy or unbelief or a place of comfort, of making sure that all your own needs are met, out of that place and moving toward people who don't know Jesus yet. We need to be moving towards people who don't know Jesus. All nations, what does that mean? Who are we going to be doing this to? Everyone everywhere, I reckon. That's how I take it. He's talking about everyone everywhere, anywhere that you are. And surely I am with you. As Julie said, we're never alone. You know, even if we don't feel like God is with us, God is with us. Jesus has said, he's never leaving us. We don't do this, we don't do anything on our own. He's always with us. I'd like to encourage us that this great commission, that we don't allow this great commission to be the great omission by getting distracted by other stuff in our lives. And, you know, if you're wondering how long do I have to do this for? Well, if you're still alive, you're still on the great commission. And some people might feel, well, I can't go and do this. I can't go and do this. You know, maybe you can't get involved in some of the outreach activities. That's fine. Maybe you can't. Then you can support it. But either way, let's do both in great measure. Let's be full on and wholehearted either way. Let's not allow this great commission from Jesus to us, to each of us, to be the great omission, the great option, the great suggestion, the great preference. Let's not succeed in the wrong things in this life. You know, let's really take to heart the heart of Jesus, that we would have his heart for this world. Look, he gave up everything, didn't he? His glory, being with the Father, being in that beautiful triune relationship, coming here on the earth and being in the dust with us, to end up being on a torturous cross and going through the agony. And that's all because he loves us. He loves everyone. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we consider all that you have done for us, your great love for us, Lord, we've been praising you about your love this morning, and we are grateful recipients of your love and your faithfulness and all that you do in our lives. And Lord, we ask this morning that you would deposit a greater measure of your heart into ours for this world. Would you speak to us, give us strategies, your strategies, on how to connect with those who don't know you yet. Maybe position ourselves into places where we need to be, where we need to be. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves to your leading and your light, and we trust in you that you don't do anything or lead us anywhere that you don't equip us to be in. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So this morning, I want to give out these cards called B and Andrew, and thank you. So if everyone could take one of these cards, on it, there's the opportunity to write one person's name on it. And we'll just pray in a moment to see who the Lord might give us as a name. And with that person, to connect with them, to make them take them out for a cup or whatever it is that you can do to increase relationship with them, be praying for them. And then think about what opportunity you might connect them into, some sort of outreach event or bring them to church or whatever you think may be a good next step for that person as you share with them, pray for them. So let's just, as we're holding those hands and our desire to introduce people to Jesus, let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just ask that you just come. Come and have your way. Father, just ask that you just take away all the unnecessary thoughts that may be going through our minds right now. And Lord, we ask that you would just not only just give us your heart for the lost, but Lord, would you just plant in our minds right now the name of one person, Lord, that you would want us to be praying for your kingdom's glory, Lord. And as you pray that, you might get someone's name that you think of all the time. It may be obvious, but that might be God too, just saying, yes, that's right. I want you to connect with that person. Amen. So I encourage you, if you've got a pen now, to even write that person's name on the card. And it's not homework that anyone's going to check up on you. This is between you and God, okay? And just keep praying about it. You know, as you pray and as you go on, you might even think, oh, I think that name's changing. Well, that's fine. But, you know, sometimes we need to be a bit concrete in what we do for God so that we actually act on that. So now we can start praying for that person. And as that person comes to mind, you might better call them up and take them out, ring them up. So just as a... Go next. Yep. Yeah, oh yes. Now we've got the smiley face. Good. So I've got to put a bit of a timeline up there just to let you know of some upcoming things that you can keep in mind. We've got the first Sundays coming up. So next Sunday, obviously, is an option for Video Sunday. That's a very kind of non-threatening place to bring unbelievers to. But Wednesday the 20th of February, that's the Franklin Graham event that's going to be down at Titanium Arena down at Findon. We've got Alpha Course starting up again. That'll be on Thursday nights here at Cooinda starting in March. You'll hear more about that as we go along. And, of course, we've always got Sunday morning. So just it's good to keep a bit aware of what's coming up so that you know what you can plug people into. That's great. Okay, thanks, Joe.
The thought about influencing community and impacting nation is simply Acts 1:8 talk about when the Spirit come on you, you be witnesses in Judea. Is it Judea? Jerusalem? Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of it. So in those times, it was accepted that you can actually impact a community and go forth. Obviously, impacting nation is just a great commission. So one of the nations we need to concentrate on is Australia. How many of you enjoy Australia Day yesterday? Yeah. So we need to, I really believe it is biblical to love your country, love the place, and because that's where God put you. And part of discipling the nation is to pray for that nation. You know, I am very blessed that I get to come to Australia and live in Australia. And this is our nation. This is where we want to care so that we leave a legacy, a righteous legacy. So you guys know that I love Australia, and Australia Day, we get to sing the great Southland. But we're going to get a couple of people to pray for Australia to represent all of us. But if anyone feel you want to pray for Australia, we can do that too. Rodney, you want to come first? And then Christine Quigley. So let's join our hearts with Rodney to pray for our nation, to pray for this great nation.
Thanks, Ty. Good morning, everyone.